All right.
Seeing as Lou is here, we'll talk about psychological and physical health, growth. There are two principles, psychological health and physical health. The first one of those principles is balance. It's difficult to do anything if a person is out of balance. The whole physical body, everything in our body, is a collection of many, many different kinds of balances. All homeostatic balances. In our psychological being, we're a little bit more rubbery and stretchable, but we can't stretch things too far and get out of balance and produce all kinds of different psychological imbalances. Anytime we do that, we're going to have problems, either major problems or minor problems. For example, if we stress the mind too much in our development, suffering, get out of control. So balance is extremely important. The other principle is follow through. If we begin something, it is psycho-spiritually healthy to carry it on, provided it's not unreasonable. We don't follow through on the things that start, likely to have missed the healthy feeling of success. Something that when you carry something all the way out, you feel the whole of it. You feel the whole in yourself. What happens is we become detached, we become indecisive, and eventually we become neurotic. We have less confidence. And if we continue that, we have less control over our entire being. And then you might say that all of the inner planets go out of orbit. Now, the psychological term for it is that various complexes and things within us become autonomous. Is when somebody has almost no self-esteem at all, then you have somebody with multiple personalities, which would normally just be facets of the same personality. So it's imperative that we carry things up, especially the things that originate deep inside of us, to carry them out in the world. It's also important to not waste our outwardly in the world by not taking them in and processing them and making them part of us. This whole series of talks that we're now finally going to be finishing is, for me, a matter of follow through. Before we did this series of talks on ephemeral horary and astrology and electional astrology, I had never done it. Several times. Notes for this talk were composed over 5 years ago. And notes for the one that follows after this, quite a long time later. So I'm already beginning to feel relief and I'm beginning to pull as far as carrying things out. And this series of talks about talking about cycles in ephemeral astrology, passing through the stars day by day. We look at binary and unary longitudinal cycles and try to find correspondences within the history of nature or something of that sort. Our goal in doing all of this was to understand any given sine waves or different waves of activity together, and then from that you should get a curve that represents the time as it unfolded and all of the relative volume things that were in it. We've only been very partially successful in all of this because the study is so large and so much undiscovered, and the beginning of the study of it has been very, very small. That was ephemeral astrology. Ephemeral astrology is the astrology of the present. After that, we looked at horary astrology, which is the astrology of asking a question that came up at a given moment. The philosophy of it being that the question and answer are silhouettes of the same moment from points of view. Now, in several ways, horary astrology is the astrology of the past. The past for us might have a time of greater ignorance. Likely a time of their enlightenment. But we have to ask questions that we are in the dark about, not asking a question like a theoretical hypothesis in a scientific experiment. But if we're ignorant, and especially ignorant of what we think is the pertinent future, that's what a question is. So we're obviously in ignorance. It's a throwback to ask questions in that way. Horary is also backwards or from the past in another way, because horary astrology, as we saw when we went through that section, is a collection of many laws and principles that have for hundreds of years been tried and tested, and it becomes a rather strict thing the way history. Interpret it, and you can draw more out of it, but you can't make it something that it wasn't. We are seeking freedom. Freedom from ignorance, and even freedom from the laws that are placed on us, which are far more than the laws of horary astrology. There seem to be several degrees of freedom. It's not like you're all bound up in a chain in one day, and the next day you're free. Freedom seems to go by stages. The first stage is the ability to choose between different options. It's the freedom of choice. If we become more free, and we can see the options, and we have experience of working with options, we can become creative. We can see what's available to us, and from what is available to us, we can make something. And when we make something, we're doing something that has never been before. Eventually, when we become very free, and when we become very divine beings, we actually become so creative that we create the potentials, that we create the options themselves, stuff out of which creation in an earlier stage is made. However, freedom, being a talent or an attitude, is something that we have to practice. We have to try to maintain a freeness of consciousness at all times. So electional astrology, are choosing to develop things from within ourselves, is a statement of freedom. So that's what we're trying to get to. Generally, the general spiritual development is more important than just electing in a few things. That's partial. Then again, we don't have that many opportunities in life to create in every moment. Moments ago, we mentioned laws, we mentioned human laws, we mentioned spiritual laws. And you said just a few moments ago that laws affect us from without. In the seeking of spiritual freedom, we are taking realities and setting them up within us under our control, where they are part of our being, part of our creativity. This is something that we see all around. Body, we have changed the laws of nature as they relate to us. And we have our own internal laws that are created by us that we function by. So, there are balances within physical body, and there are effects of the nature at large built into these balances. But to some extent, they're autonomous. Quite a few people get people in breath, some people get stuck in the heart, all sorts of things, muscles. So this is an autonomous set of laws within us. Now, it's obvious from this that is an important thing. In fact, even in freedom, harmony is important. If we aren't harmonious with ourselves, and nature, there's not a lot that we can do. So there are important things about what we do. Action that we have that we take in life. My experience is that there are two kinds of activities that are primary for all of our activity in general. One is what we do with ourselves. That is how much we creatively take control of our being and make of ourselves. Almost unlimited potential if we keep developing. The other kind of activity that seems to be ultimately important is what we do for others. Because if we are only self-oriented in a narcissistic way, we become unhealthy both physically and psychologically. Now, in both of these activities, others seem to be two components for healthy living. One of them is important now, but may not ultimately be important. It might just be something that's necessary during our fallen state. In this garden time, I spent as much time in the gardens this week as I could, and those two activities, which should govern what we do with ourselves and for others, correspond to sowing and weeding in the garden. Sowing is starting and doing new things, making things happening, building things, creating things. The other activity is weeding, which is correct. Into something else, and in that we see each of our faults or even of our temptations as other forms of opportunity. And these two need balance, because if you only plant seeds and you don't weed, you're not going to have a garden. But if you weed too much, you undermine even the healthy plants, and so you it's again a matter of balance between the two. Eventually, the two merge, and all of what are now faults through us become transmuted into something that's a virtue, something that is a positive, good thing about ourselves. That's what transmutation. ourselves and activities that we do for others. These two factors that we have called sowing and weeding can be seen as general factors in terms of performance. In excellent performance, which is another way of saying doing, one avoids errors and avoids imperfections, and above all, avoids doing harmful things. And in successful performance, one accentuates strong points. Talents that we have are perfected, developed, and carried out. So what we're talking about is performance and how to perform well, how to perform to the best of one's ability. So, finally at the subject, and the subject is performance election. Natal horoscope is a map of the heavens at the moment of birth. Interpreting a natal horoscope is interpreting that moment of birth just as we try to grasp any given moment. When we did that, we looked at it in terms of history. But there's a difference because in natal astrology, added relative to the universe again. And the external universe is reflected in the inner universe, which is a special place of adaptation of the laws of nature in an internal way. Now, some horoscopes can be interpreted in terms of events, but that's not usually the best reference. In ephemeral astrology, everything is external. Whereas in natal astrology, the internal part is the important part. In ephemeral astrology, one is looking at history and at nature and how they relate to the cosmos. One looks at the function of history and at the function of astronomy. Now, in natal astrology, one's looking things relative to individual ends. One therefore realizes that the owner of a particular horoscope has intentions. That divine being which has come to birth has intentions of things that it wants to accomplish with any given in life. This is analogous in the same way that the physical body has adapted the laws of nature to its individual ends. There are interplays between the internal and the external, between the microcosmic and the macrocosmic, that show that we have appropriated the laws of nature to ourselves. And one of the best examples of the principles of nature defying the external quality of nature is jumping. According to physics, I should stand here and I should not move. A body at rest tends to stay at rest, whereas a body in motion tends to stay in motion until it has run out of energy. So if I jump, I have done something that goes contrary to the laws of nature. Of course, at this stage of evolution, gravity is soon to take over, and we fall down, go boom, we come back to Earth again. Of course, in time, we may be able to jump up and stay up, or stay up longer. What we're saying is, with regard to the astrological laws of nature, is that there may be a time of great catastrophe in which many people suffer and lose. But some people, because their nature is different and because they freely choose what's happening outwardly in greater nature, they have a time of positivity. These guys were just talking about the stock market. Some people lose a lot, but there were people who actually made money during the great crash of 1929. Not a lot, but they knew how to and they made money. So even if we can't maintain buoyancy perpetually, and even though we don't always take note and intentionally use our will, our body still has independent interaction. We relate to the universe even if we're not intentionally doing so. Perhaps most will lose in one kind of astrological climate. Some will win and will be very jocular about it. All of us respond consciously and unconsciously to the astrological environment. We don't respond in the same way, and often we don't respond synchronously. Put in street language, say we have good days and we have bad days. The good and the bad is not in the days themselves, but it's more that a matter of on some days our performance relative to the cosmic environment is better or worse. Now we have internal cycles that are based on the laws internalized. This is a very big subject that we can only mention that it exists because there's been some study on it, but really not a lot, not bluff. If we look at this, we have like biorhythmic cycles of 28 days and 30 days and 33 days and other cycles of that type, most of which are circadian, which means they are 24 hours cycles. So what we're talking about is responding to different astrological climates. What is in the air and how our response to that will be. Now there are some things in performance elections, which we're calling natal elections, that are important for some things that they should be applied to. And the things that they should be applied to are things like competitions or tests and examinations or job interviews or performances, recitals, showings, things like that. There are some things where natal elections do not apply. And those are things which are done regularly. You don't do a natal election to do your laundry. You know, it's to be laundry day, you do that. That's a regular activity. And the regularity is more important than the electional part of it. And things which are open-ended. Talked in one of these talks about the founding of a religious society. Last for hundreds of years. That's something that a performance election does not apply to. So performance elections or natal elections are for specific short-term events and activities. Things for a special day, things for a special time. And with a natal election, it is made for one specific individual only. And that is how that individual stands with regard to evolution as shown in the natal horoscope. So this is the kind of election which when we do, we have to apply to the natal horoscope. That's the natal horoscope, if we can understand So that is, that's us for this life. It's what we've set out to do in this life. Now, natal elections are different from other kinds of elections. Previously, we have looked at natural elections. Now, sowing a garden is a natural election. You don't look at the individual horoscope when you sow a garden. You look at nature, the seasons of the year, and you look at what plants and what kinds of the moon and things like that. One's lung is ruled by Gemini and Mercury, so that if we do a natural election to have a surgery, we don't do a natal election for that. We do it at a time when surgeries for lungs are good. If we did want to do a natal election for surgery, the best natal election would be election of the surgeon to see whether he was going to be well focused on that day. There might be an exception if a person is very weak and enfeebled, then that individual may be critical that it be done on a day that they're likely to have better energy to come back from the anesthesia or something like that. If one is starting an activity of creative freedom, one may not want to look back at the natal chart. If you're trying to get beyond yourself and you're trying to do something that is beyond you, the person, and create something completely different, which would be under an artificial election, you don't do a natal election for that purpose. Now, it must be noted, some people become overly optimistic about these things, that electing a time for success does not necessarily mean success. I don't have the horoscopes right now, but supposedly Napoleon and Wellington had similar horoscopes, and it was a great day for both of them. But only one of them, one that had the most skill or who was most in control of himself, could win the day. So just because you have chosen to do something at the best time for success of a specific night does not necessarily ensure that you're going to have success. It just means you're giving yourself the best chance. If one has a destiny that requires one to not be successful, then you won't be successful. Sometimes one needs that kind of failure to apply themselves better. At this stage in evolution, there is no ultimate victory in life. We can't say that I have overcome life and I've done it all. We can't say that. All we can really do is do our best and to get better and to give as much as we can to a situation. That's usually quite a bit. Well, that's enough. So it's wiser to think in terms of progress and not necessarily successes. Though we are looking at the times when we are looking for success, we don't use this kind of philosophy for everything in life. Now we're going to look at a specific example. These are the horoscopes for this specific example. The name on the horoscope is Pickles Hoarder, and Pickles Hoarder is an anagram for the instructor. There's a lovely website called wordsmith.org, and at wordsmith.org you can take any set of letters and you can make anagrams out of them. This is an ephemeris. have one, give them back to me because these are the last ones that I have for the year. All right. Now assume that pickles hoarder is a candidate for a PhD in philosophy. And before he can get on with the program, he has to pass the preliminary examinations, which are in two parts, one part being written and one part being oral. And both must be taken in the autumn semester of the year 2010. Our objective is to select the best days and times, if possible, for the written exams and the oral exams. First thing that we do is we have to note a definite and reasonable range of time. This is a very frustrating activity because the world is not geared toward doing things astrologically. In general, in all forms of election, the longer the range of time, the more likely one is to find a time that is optimal. So you always, as much as possible, if you're doing elections for people or for yourself, you try to allow or get the longest range of time. Now, last time, we talked about electing when to do surgery. We found out that schedules of hospitals and doctors are not accommodating to astrology. So there are limitations, and things, our range of time gets chopped down. Now we have an entire semester available to us. That's a pretty good size range. You can get a range that long in any question that you, in any election you're trying to make, that's very good. So let's say that the semester runs from September 7th, which is the day after Labor Day, through to December 17th, which would be when there would be a break for the Christmas holiday. All right, that's the range without exclusions. Now we have to make several kinds of exclusions: personal exclusions, societal exclusions, and astrological exclusions. For example, a personal exclusion might be that the candidate is not prepared, not properly prepared, in which case that would bias the whole range toward the latter half so that there is time for the person to become better prepared. Then suppose brother of the candidate is getting married on October 16th. That would mean that his amount of time before and after October 16th would have to be pruned in order that the individual could attend the wedding. So that, let's say that the week of October 11th through 15th would be excluded. Fortunately, in this case, we don't have to make either of those kinds of personal exclusions because Pickleswater is well prepared and his brother is well married. All right, the next kind are societal or institutional exclusions. And they're pretty simple and for the most part they're cut and dry. In this case, obvious exclusions would be weekends and holidays. Professors would not be wanting to administer examinations. There are other kinds of institutional exclusions which would vary from institution to institution. Some institutions say that all of the time from 5 p.m. until 8 a.m. is excluded. Because you're not going to find a professor willing to come in those hours that you administer examinations. On the other hand, if you're doing something like a musical recital, there you'd have to schedule it for an evening or a Sunday afternoon, something like that. So from this, we can already see that there's all kinds of frustration. As you're going to see when you look through the ephemeris, that every time that the moon is in Scorpio, which would be a dandy place for this horoscope, it's a weekend. And it means that a lot of really good days are excluded. So you can see already that well over half of the time in our range has been taken away. And we haven't even come to the astrological exclusions, which are the next thing. Since this is an intellectual activity, intellectual activity is ruled by Mercury, we would probably want to not do this when Mercury was retrograde. That's a natal or astrological factor. This would mean that in the first week of September and everything from the 11th of December to the end of December would be excluded. Now, sometimes people take the preliminary examinations not intending to pass. They take it as a practice run. And if you do it as a practice run, doing it under a Mercury retrograde would be perfectly all right. It would be a very positive thing. So from this, we can see that we've chopped off some of September and some of December. And we are looking for a success-failure outcome. We're not just looking for a smooth performance, we're looking for a pass-fail kind of situation. So we'd probably want to do it when success is in the sky. And that would probably mean we would want to do it on a waxing moon. So you can see we've really cut things down quite a bit. And it's better to do it ahead of time because if you put in a whole bunch of work and you bring the election to people and say, oh, I can't do it that time. That's the time Johnny has to go, blah, blah, blah. You know, your work is for naught. So everything we've done is valid astrology, but if there is something overriding, suppose there is a super excellent Mercury day even in the retrograde, you might want to go ahead and do it. All right, now let's look at the rest of the handout. The handouts are much more thorough this time. Before we do this, we want to look through everything and just see if there's something really, really stand out about everything. So let's go through the whole range and just look at outstanding phenomena in the heavens, which usually has to do with outer planets. So when we do that, we get this table. Says astronomical, astrological phenomena pass. And what we come up with is that on the 19th of September, Mars is opposite Saturn. On the 21st of September, Venus conjoins the Sun, but that's in a waning moon, so that doesn't do anything for us. On the 27th of September, A sun conjoins Mars. Good energetic day, but it's also in a waning moon. Venus conjoined the sun is on October 17th. That's a waxing moon, so that's a positive. Two different dates. All right, but you can see these are all of the things when you look through. You're looking at what's happening in the heavens. And when you do that, you find there are 15 transiting aspects. Transit to natal. So there you find these transiting aspects. But 9 of them out of the 15 are during a waning moon. So if you notice all of the waning moon, like September 21st, 27th of September, 1st of October, 6th of October, 6th of October, 29th of October, 3rd of November, those are all dates that even though there are phenomena in there that affect the chart, unless they are something overwhelming, we're not even going to look at them because they are waning, so they got two strikes against them. Usually when you do this, when you look through for the phenomena, the heavy planet phenomena are most important. Like in this case, that would be the Saturn and the Jupiter phenomena, and then in November, the Uranus phenomenon, Uranus conjoined the middle moon. Now, those are strong factors because they involve outer planets. The way it works is that outer planets last longer and they hang on longer, and because of that, their influence is less fleeting. All right, now let's look at the other side of that same sheet, and let's look at the horoscope of the individual before we go fishing for a good date. Now, Mercury, we're saying that this is a mercurial activity. And in a mercurial activity, you look at aspects to Mercury. And in this horoscope, Mercury happens to be by far the strongest of all of the aspects. By the way, did we check the sound? Okay. I was the strongest aspect in the horoscope is Mercury trine the moon. So if possible, we want to avoid, we want to stress that. The strongest negative is Mercury square Jupiter. There are other mercurial aspects. Mercury sextiles Neptune, Mercury trines Pluto, and Mercury sextiles the ascendant. So there's a lot of things that are favorable to the Mercury in this horoscope. Mercury's in the third house, good for communications, writing, things like that. Jupiter rules, Mercury rules the 10th, which is relation to authorities and how you perform in the world, how the world sees you. And Mercury rules the ascendant and disposes Neptune. Now let's look at a do's and don'ts as a result of these factors. Number one, the Mercury square Jupiter means that we want to avoid exaggeration or prolixity or something like that. Since there is so much Neptune involved with the ascendant and Mercury itself, we have to be careful of times when there is too much sensitivity. Person is likely to be too sensitive to things. The third thing we look at, since the Mercury and the Moon are in that trine and it all takes place in water, we want to stress times of imaginative thinking because that is favorable for the individual. The third house indicates that if there has to be an interaction, like an oral or something like that, talking back and forth, That is that's a good time. And since Jupiter's in the fifth house and Mercury's in the third house, we choose opportunities for communication over opportunities for expression. All right. Yes. Oh, the fifth house is expression. Third house is communication. And Mercury is well disposed, but Jupiter is not. So you have to choose between two times and one favorite expression more than communication. You wouldn't go with that one. You go with the one. Yeah. All right. So then we go on our first fishing trip, or the first pass going through the ephemeris. And in this, always the moon is the main factor. The moon is what triggers everything else. So what we do is we follow the position of the moon as it transits planets in the natal horoscope, and we do it during the time of the waxing moon and times that we have not culled out for by others excluding things. We don't look so much at the ephemeral things. We use them as final deciders when we've come through this, unless there's something really spectacular like an eclipse or something like that. Again, we avoid weekends and holidays. And what we come up with is the list of things called first pass. September 8th, September 16th, September 22nd, October 6th, October 15th, October 19th, November 11th, November 16th, December 8th, and December 13th. These are all days in which there is a good aspect of the moon, or so it seems in just a rough pass through the ephemeris. Now we look at them in detail by looking at the rightmost column. September 8th is out because Mercury is retrograde. September 16th may be good, may not be good. There's a lot of sensitivity there. September 22nd is so-so. It activates Mercury, but it also does the things with Uranus and Jupiter, and the sun is void, so it's not a take-initiative kind of day. October 6th is not good because it's too late in the day for Mercury. The same thing happens with the 15th, but actually if you work in the PM, but not at night, not in the evening, if you work with the PM in the 14th, that works all right because the moon is applying to a positive aspect. October 19th, again, has all of the moon being accentuated, but Jupiter is opposite the ascendant. That's one of our days that's difficult. November is 11th is chancy, some good, some bad, but the outer planets are difficult again. November 16th, in the morning, it is better. It has some of the same bad things going on, but I forget what it is in the morning that it's better. December 8th, it's okay in the afternoon. And all of those outer planets are still there, but they're all direct now rather than retrograde. And December 13th is out because Mercury is retrograde. And so what we get from this, the five best that we get from this that are either good or not mixed with too many difficult things are September 16th, September 22nd, October 14th, November 16th, and December 8th. Now, we do the second pass. Now, in the second pass, we look at only these 5 days but we look at other things that are happening in the air, ephemerally in the air, so that we can see whether one is better than another. If we take September 16th, in the air, Mercury sextiles Venus and Mars. Very positive. And the moon is in Capricorn, which is a very settling time. Nothing happening on the September 22nd. On October 14th in the PM, the moon sextiles Mars, and both of them are applying to sextiles to both the natal Mercury and the natal moon. This makes this, this is a really big enhancement. And on November 16th, the Mercury in the heavens is sextile to Saturn, and it's conjoined to Mars. So this is also a positive. On the December 8th, there's nothing special happening in the air, so there are no enhancements, no distractions. And from this, we come to the final two selections, which would be October 14th in the afternoon or on November 16th, most likely in the morning on the 16th. So, if we look at these 2 days, November 16th is probably a better day for doing the written exam because there's much more Saturn on that day, and the transiting Saturn of Mercury are very good for concentration. And probably October 14th in the afternoon would be good for the orals because it would have the moon in Capricorn in the 5th, which would be stabilizing and would be countermanding the Mercury square Jupiter, which is the bullshitting aspect. That would probably be the best opportunity during the whole period. Now, in these final choices, the 2 days are close enough to each other that either day could be used for either exam. It requires something very special to insist on only one date and one date only. For that matter, if we look at any of the 5 finalists, any one of them would be all right, and they would be reasonable. We have to sometimes compromise with the world. The world is just not going to allow you to do things on just one day. Being a gambling type of person, the speaker would even play a hunch on September 16th for the written, but not for the orals, because there are all those interesting things going on in the 16th, all kinds of mixed things with Neptune, and the reason that the gambling spirit would come in would be the hope that sensitivity would make for greater intuitiveness on that day. And this is how you do a naval election. Yeah, but I'm not a candidate for PhD. I just use it as a theoretical example. There have been times that I have done it for myself and that I have done for other people. Yes, Sharad. No, we did, but we did. We've done elections on other things. Yeah. My experience is no. If you take WinStar, and not just use the WinStar, you have to pay another couple $100. You can get a search program, and that search program will look for anything, but it's looking specific events, and it's not interpreting those events in terms of a character. No, I don't think so. Yes, the phenomenon pass, it would do wonderfully on. That would be done zip, and it would give you all of the, you say, oh, I want to check for this, and that it would do real zippy. But looking for days that are good for the accentuation of the mind, maybe yes, maybe no. You could ask it every time that the moon comes to a positive aspect of Mercury in that range, exactly the time, and that you could save yourself some time that way. But eventually you still have to go back and look at the character of the day and the character of the individual. Yes, yes, that would be a very specific sort of thing. I maybe should have done a talk on that very thing. That's not an election, really, because you don't have the freedom of the day. It's more a matter of choosing to do what you're good at or what, you know, or what to avoid in yourself on a specific day. I've done a lot of that. Yes. Yep. Some would even consider an opposition. I'm a little bit squirmish about that. But in this case, all the conjunctions occur on weekends. And that was frustrating going through that. I said to myself, I'm glad this is all hypothetical. All right. Thank you very much. Much easier this time, wasn't it? It's all explained. No, we see we did this class once before, but we didn't have the sound turned on. And I raced through it, and the charts weren't nearly as well done as they were this time. There are still other things that I can improve on the charts, but